I'm the Senior Environmental Health Coordinator at WEAC for Environmental Justice. And WEAC for Environmental Justice is a community-based organization in northern Manhattan. And we serve a number of different communities working around environmental injustices that happen in northern Manhattan specifically, in New York City. And so what I'm going to be talking about today is a project that I coordinate called the Northern Manhattan Care Collaborative, and how we were able to use participatory methods to address environmental injustices and go through a process of really identifying environmental health priorities for four community areas within Northern Manhattan. And I have no financial disclosures or relationships. So the overview is, first I'm going to give an introduction to WEAC for Environmental Injustice, WEAC for Environmental Justice, sorry. And then I'll talk a little bit about our CARE program, which we were funded through the EPA to do. And then I'll talk a little bit also about the Northern Manhattan CARE Collaborative and what we explicitly do, the different stakeholders that are involved, how we implemented our project, and then some of the lessons learned, and then the different opportunities for engagement that we have. I'm hoping that this can be really, it's fine, a best practice kind of like talk to really talk about some of the tools that we use as a community-based organization to do our work. So this is a picture that I like to show, or a collection of pictures, about some of the work that we do at WEAC for Environmental Justice. This picture right here is actually from a campaign that happened long before I got to WEAC, which has been written up in a number of case studies about how we use different participatory methods and research to be able to engage community residents around issues of outdoor air quality in northern Manhattan. And so it's a very striking picture, if you can imagine, that this was on the side of bus shelters. This is our team at our first Earth Day out in Central Harlem. We had a great time talking about the environment to different folks and really just engaging them in a good time. And then these are just two pictures of different residents that we got involved in different activities. This one down here is a protest around a depot that they were rebuilding. And this one right here is a community planning process around a marine transfer station, which is one of many projects and programs that we have at WEAC. So we asked for all of these different kind of areas. One thing that you'll find is when you're working within the environmental justice movement, you find that you're not just necessarily fighting things, but you're also trying to create opportunities for people to become engaged around their environment and to be able to understand and create bi-directional processes for folks that are in these impacted, affected communities to be able to talk to folks that are maybe in the public health department, that may be at universities that are doing research on them instead of with them, and maybe should be also partnering with them to do that research, and creating this conversation where most times people know what's going on in their environment and how it's impacting their health. They're just using different language to really talk about it. And so these are the different examples of kind of like health inequities that occur in northern Manhattan. What you find is that northern Manhattan is like this area right here. So if you're familiar with New York City, it's everything that's above kind of 96th Street, depending on the community area that you're looking at. And we have issues where we're dealing with marine transfer stations, and that what happens is literally there's no garbage or solid waste that's actually on the island of Manhattan. It's all taken to places that are away. And so you end up having these marine transfer stations, which are usually in the communities that are predominantly African American or Latino. And they're all around the edge of the city. And a lot of times you have garbage trucks that are backed up in through communities. So during the summertime, people are not just smelling garbage, but they're smelling like diesel fumes, which is also an issue because when you start to look at this map over here, you find that all of these dots that you see are different environmental polluters. And then these are kind of like the numbers for asthma hospitalizations for children 0 to 4. So you start to see a little bit of a relationship, and you also start to notice that many of those polluters are all concentrated within a specific area. And there are a number of different things that kind of drive those issues, which we won't get into in this presentation. Thank you. So this is really to show the model that we use or that we think about when we're doing our work at WEAC for Environmental Justice, which also directly relates to the Northern Manhattan Care Collaborative and how we do our work. So we have kind of like these three different areas of training, education, and organizing. We have advocacy. We do work at the local, national, and sometimes international level around policy that's going to impact people in relationship to the environment and health. And we also do research, either in-house research that we do with community residents and collecting neighborhood level environmental information. But we also are active in community academic partnerships with two centers at Columbia, as well as always searching for opportunities to collaborate with other academics to do different types of participatory research. So what we like to do is initially, at its more fundamental level, we like to have all of these kind of are fed by input from the community, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Like sometimes there may be a policy that takes place and then we recognize that it's of importance or it's related to an environmental health topic that people have brought up. So we begin to do some research around it and we work with folks to find out if that's something that they really care about. Many times, because there are so many things that are going on, people care about a lot of things, they just have to prioritize them in different ways. And then these all kind of feed into each other and then work to hopefully impact and help us in creating healthy communities. A lot of this is also framing it in a way so that we're not also always talking about everything that's bad, because like the presenter said before, when you think everything is bad, that can lead to a number of different like biophysical reactions within your body, and then can also have many other health outcomes. And so we want to make sure that we're creating not just a healthy community, but that we're creating processes that are transparent and we're engaging folks at many different levels. Thanks. So the Northern Manhattan Care Collaborative is a cooperative agreement with the EPA. It's $100,000 over 2 years. And then they have us use this methodology called the PACE-EH methodology, which is the Protocol for Achieving Community Excellence Through Environmental Health, which is fascinating. For a community-based organization, it's kind of like the things that we already do just lined up into a scientific model so that folks that maybe like a public health department can therefore like understand how we do our work. So it's really also being a part of this process and recognizing that we're kind of like meshing our own kind of skillage and knowledge of sets that we do around engaging people around environmental health issues with a traditional model that's set up and put into like a scientific framework, and hopefully coming out with something that everyone is happy with. That means folks that are our funders at the EPA, the folks that are within the community that we work with directly at a level, and within our community-based organization, making sure that we're actually doing things and accountable to the people that we serve. So we went through and we identified a number of environmental health issues. There are 9/10 issues, and this is, I think, very essential to the process and to really understanding health inequality, environmental inequalities, because these issues aren't necessarily traditional environmental health issues that people will think of. The first issue was environmental health service delivery, so really understanding what is an environmental health service and then who within the kind of like structure of New York City or maybe the state is responsible. So if we identify a policy that we need to address, we know actually who we need to contact to address that. Pests and pesticides, because there's been a lot of research that has come out of some of the research centers that we have done that shows that although there are like high concentrations of folks in New York City, that some of the highest pesticide usage is actually in Northern Manhattan, and that's even when you compare it to state level data. So that's people that may have like large lawns and things like that, which was also very surprising to us. Another issue is solid waste, indoor air quality, outdoor air quality, lead poisoning, the built environment, and land use, because there are a number of issues that are going on around gentrification, which are directly related to environmental health, but sometimes aren't discussed within that context, stress, and then access to healthy food. So what we basically did was an environmental health needs assessment, and what we did is we kind of like took some of the methods that we already used and then applied them to the methodology that the EPA kind of promoted. So we started out by assembling like a multi-stakeholder group of individuals that included individual community residents. It included folks that were at our local public health department. It also included, one thing that's very difficult for us sometimes, is reaching out to local businesses and engaging them around environmental health issues. The way that this program is really set up is to engage like a large polluter around how they may be polluting your community. But what ends up happening in the New York City context is the polluters are actually the government, because the Department of Environmental Conservation or the Department of Environmental Protection are actually in charge of like dealing with water treatment facilities. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which is a huge authority, is in charge of kind of like buses. And so those are kind of like the two main topics, especially in terms of outdoor air emissions, which a lot of times we connect to some of the asthma health outcomes that we see. And so in terms of engaging, it's not like we can go, hey, you government, like, do this right now. So what ends up happening is we have to find a different way to really look at and think about engaging those local businesses. This also includes different types of nonprofit and community organizations, community development organizations. We brought them all together to really talk to them about some of the environmental health issues they had. So they meet on like a quarterly basis to really engage around issues and then how we can use their capacity to be able to build synergy around the topics that were identified at community meetings. There are four main neighborhoods in Northern Manhattan. That is Washington Heights and Inwood, East Harlem, Central Harlem, and West Harlem. And so we had community meetings in each area to really identify and tease out which environmental health issues were more important to some communities just because they differ in terms of like their demographic makeup. Northern Manhattan and all of these different neighborhoods are predominantly African American and Latino, but depending on the neighborhood that you're in and where they're associated and how the different kind of like neighborhood factors impact folks, the environmental health issues tend to change, although usually outdoor air quality kind of like predominates throughout all the communities. After we collected all of these issues, we put all of those issues together and kind of grouped them in the 9/10 environmental health areas that I discussed. And then because we wanted to make sure that we got additional input, we initiated a local business engagement kind of initiative where we had just a business roundtable where everyone was allowed to come, but a lot of our focus was around addressing environmental health issues that really were bothering some of the local businesses. And then we also had a community survey which was implemented by 7 environmental health survey team members which we trained around environmental health issues. And they went out to different community centers, health events, sometimes senior centers, and really began to engage people around those issues and find out if the issue list that we had come up with was really what people were thinking about. We then moved that into kind of building these issue papers, which I call like short environmental health stories, which we use to kind of like provide a framework to say, hey, this is the environmental health issue that was identified. This is how specific health outcomes are related to these environmental health issues in your specific neighborhood. How do you want to rank them? Do you see them as a high rank, as a high risk? Do you see them as a medium risk or a low risk? And then as we began to rank them, what we found is some people's perceptions didn't necessarily always match the health stats that we had, and then what were some of the discrepancies that were causing that, and then how can we begin to move that to actually address which ones we want to prioritize so that we can think about community-based strategies to be able to address them. And so some of it was thinking, are there people that are actually doing work on asthma in this area? So if we do get like $300,000 or whatever to be able to implement the project, are we just going to be like adding to like all these other people that are doing things, or are we going to be able to effectively impact? And so from that, we came up with a number of other kind of like ways for us to prioritize, and we came up with 3 issues. And so this is also where we talk about the implementation, which goes through kind of all those sections I talked about, so you can go through with the meetings, the business roundtable. Oh, one thing that I forgot to mention that was really also key in engaging businesses was the use of photo voice. And so we were really searching for a way to really engage the businesses and say, you know, hey, what issues are important? Sometimes we go to the business and be like, we don't want to talk to you. We're trying to you know, do our regular business. A lot of the businesses are like bodegas or corner stores. So a lot of times also folks may have 1 or 2 people that work all of the shifts. And this is a place that's open from like 6 to maybe midnight. So you have one person, we're not even going to get into the occupational health issues, but you have one person that may work from like 6 a.m. to like 10 p.m. And so they're not going to have time to like come out to a meeting. But what they did have time to do was take pictures around solid waste issues, which we recognized there are a number of people that were getting tickets from the Department of Sanitation, and they were more than happy to kind of talk about the impact of solid waste as an environmental health issue, which then directly relates to the pest problem, because there are huge rats in New York City. I don't know if anyone's been there to see them. And then, which directly relates to the use of pesticides. So this is the final that I talked about the implementation. You can go to the next slide. And then many of our lessons learned are kind of, I think, sometimes obvious, not more like aha moments to some people that are doing community-based work. But when we started to talk to some of our partners that were part of the collaborative that may be at different universities, maybe at different parts, they're not in like community engagement, they may just be doing like bench scientists, or they may just be doing different things, we found that community outreach is essential, which for us, I mean, we know that we're a community-based organization, but I think it's important to always reinforce that, especially because people don't always put like their emphasis on organizing. And then we want to consider the big picture, and we always want to invest in dynamic processes. Initially, we hadn't planned to like have the business roundtable, but it was something that came out of what we needed, and we were very strategic about that. And then there's more. And then we found that there are also all of these different opportunities for engagement, and we hope that sooner or later we'll be able to also like incorporate within our participatory methods the use of health impact assessment, which is something that I think is starting to get more traction. And then these are the acknowledgments. I wanted to thank our staff, even though they're not here. Charles, Anthony, and Peggy Shepherd, who's our executive director. The interns that also helped work on this project, Sarah Shore and Ashley Hopkins. Our Northern Manhattan Care Collaborative, everyone that was in that. And then also our project officer at the EPA. And then this is my contact information at a beautiful mural in Harlem. If you have any more questions. I also have some handouts and things, so if anybody needs that at the end, we created some best practice manuals and things like that from our work. Thank you.